Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 26th of March. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely...
Riding a bike.
Miss on a bike.
So it is.
What?
26th of March.
It is, nearly the end of March.
Where did that go?
I know, it's gone really quickly, isn't it? Quarter of a year gone.
Well, I wasn't even looking at that. I was just thinking March has flown by, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it has. It's gone really quickly. Yeah. Almost April.
Yeah.
Yeah, blimey.
You had a busy weekend, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It was Amanda's birthday. Yeah. Birthday month.
What? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
She's expanded it to a month.
Month, yeah, yeah.
It used to be a weekend, then
yeah,
it was a week.
And now it's a month.
Nice,
yeah.
I must try that.
Yeah, but we had a lovely weekend. We did lots of things, yeah, yeah. Loads of people came to watch us.
Doing Lion King?
We went to London and we went to see a matinee performance of Lion King. When we came out and walked to Trafalgar Square, there were like 400,000 people there cheering. It was amazing. We came out and Amanda went, "You've staged this for my birthday?" Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, love. What was going on?
Yeah. So, a big demonstration, wasn't it?
Was it storming of the Bastille or something?
Yeah, it was. It was just like that. Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah, so it's good fun. But it did mean that all the roads were closed, so we couldn't get a cab to where we were going. So we had to walk most of the way, but it was probably good for us. And then we went to Benihana's in the evening, which is a Japanese steakhouse. Yeah, it's a really good fun, Benihana's. Yeah, if you've never been, it's really
never.
Have you not?
No.
It's one of those, it's a Japanese restaurant, but it's a kind of California-Japanese restaurant.
What does that mean?
Well, basically, it's Japanese food produced in a California style kind of thing. So basically you get your own chef at your table with a hot plate, and they cook the food in front of you. But while they're doing it, each of the chefs has a little foible, so they juggle their knives and they make choo-choo trains out of thing. You know, there's entertainment. Yeah. Years ago, when I first went, or about 25 years ago, that one of the chefs actually was a Tom Jones impersonator. So he used to sing Tom Jones songs all the while he was cooking. It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Wow.
But the food is wonderful. The food is absolutely gorgeous. It's wonderful. But the experience is also good fun. So, yeah.
Is this where that cocktail was just overflowing with?
Yeah, did you see the picture? Yeah, that was bizarre.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I won't even tell you about the sake she had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She wanted sake. Sorry, Amanda. I got it. No one's listening. Don't worry. She wanted sake, and the waitress that was taking the order was a trainee, and Amanda just said, "Can I have sake, please?" And normally sake's warm rice wine. Yeah. What we didn't realise is, like, they had 40 different sakes on the menu kind of thing. So the girl just picked the first one, which was cold, and it was infused with flavours. But there were three bottles of it, and it was bought in three. There was a pink, an orange, and a green bottle of sake laying on a bed of ice, and it was lit. The tray that it was on was lit with blue light from underneath. It was unbelievably presented. So she had three bottles of sake to drink, which was interesting.
Is that how it's supposed to come out? As in bottles? Isn't it just a little
comes
glass?
In, you know, it comes out in a little, like a
mug?
No. It's a little glass bottle, shaped like a light bulb kind of thing. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And there were three of them in there. Yeah. It was great. She enjoyed it.
Did you pick her up underneath the
Yeah, she's right. No, I want another one. Yeah, no, she was fine. She was fine.
Of course she was fine.
We had a lovely time. Thank you.
Good.
I want to say some thank yous before we get underway. Obviously, I want to say a thank you to today's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks at ZC Social Media, who are sponsoring us, for ZC Live. And we're going to talk to you more about ZC Live, later on. But I want to say a big thank you to Phoenix Analysts, who have been supporters of the show for the last 2 years. I want to say a big thank you to them for having supported us for all that time. And to bring you some news about some changes that are coming, because one of our other big supporters has been Supply My Business, Martin White and the team from Supply My Business. And they've been supporting us for 3 years now, and also co-hosting one show a month. They're moving on to other things, so I want to say a massive thank you for the 3 years support that they've given us, and to wish them luck in their new venture. And their new venture is their own show.
Yeah.
Kent Biz Connect. It's on Mondays at 3 o'clock. And this Monday, Martin, who's the presenter, and his co-host, Mr. Brian Wakefield, their guest is Pete Bresser of Bresser Photography. So that's 3 o'clock on Monday, and you'll be able to see hear the Kempis Connect show on Mondays from 3 o'clock with the lovely folks from Supply My Business. So a huge thank you to Martin and his team for all the support they've given us over the years, and to wish them much success with their new venture.
Mm.
Cool. So that's that, but we'd like to hear from you, the businesses out there in Kent. Come on, you're being a bit tardy this week.
They are.
We've only got half a dozen or so tweets so
what
far.
What is going on?
I don't know. Everybody's tweeted out.
Well,
I think
it's not Easter.
Yeah, no, they've all been so busy going Brexit on Twitter or something that they've all given up now and gone, oh, we're not tweeting anymore. It doesn't get us anywhere.
So, it does get you somewhere.
Yeah, it does.
Get you somewhere.
Yeah, funnily enough. I was at a Grow West Kent show last week, which I chaired, and Janice Gordon.
That's unusual.
yeah. And Janice Gordon did one of the talks there on sales, and she was talking very much about how sales has changed and you shouldn't sell anymore. Yeah, you know, the traditional sales just doesn't work anymore. People don't want it. They don't like it. They're not having it, and it ain't going to work. And it's all about building relationships and interacting and talking. And therefore, social media has come to play a big part in that. And we're talking a lot about how you use social media as a sales tool without using it to sell. Yeah, by building relationships, which is fascinating and useful and really good. Yeah.
Well, it is, because it makes you question it, doesn't it? Mm. It makes you think, actually, if I'm not allowed to sell, because that's what you're saying to me, really I shouldn't be selling anymore, then I'm really going to do it under the radar, because really that's all there is in business, is to make a goal of a profit. That's what we've got to make money, isn't it? Isn't that what business is
about?
Yeah,
sure, but I think the issue is, you know, I want your views on this. I think...
What, mine?
And everyone's views on it, because I think what it is it's a new phenomena of where we are now. Back in the day, many years ago, you had very few choices. Yeah, there was no, you couldn't target people in the way that you can now. So basically, when you tried to sell anything, what you actually did is you picked it up and you threw it at everybody and hoped some of it stuck. Yeah, which is what television advertising did. It's what radio advertising did. It's what newspaper advertising did. You just threw it at people and went, if you like that, you can talk to me. If you don't, ignore it. So it was a numbers game. Well, that doesn't work anymore, because you can highly target. So, for instance, one of the things that drives me nuts is what I call anti-selling. It's people that come along on LinkedIn and try to sell me something that is ridiculous, based on the fact that if they'd have read my profile, they would know it's ridiculous. Yeah. So somebody came along yesterday and tries to sell me web development. And I go, second line of my profile, I own a web development company. Am I likely to buy it from you? And they go, That's anti-selling, yeah? Because they've just made themselves look stupid, not just to me, but to anybody else that sees that. And that is where we've got to stop, where you've got to start looking at what you're doing and not just throwing things at a wall and hoping that they stick. And that was the kind of message that I got from Janice and some of the other people, who's about building relationships and understanding who you're selling to. And
absolutely. I mean, that's exactly how it works for me. For me, it's about what can you give someone.
Yes, this is Bruce Kidd, by the way.
Before you can actually sell to someone, it's what can you give to them, because, you know, that way also you can almost follow on with the knowledge you are selling to someone with whatever it is you are selling.
Yeah.
But I find that giving something, so whether it is, you know, for us, an event, some food, or something that you just kind of get people together and talk.
Yep.
My aim is not to sell from those things. It really is to start building a relationship.
So absolutely.
Totally. She's totally right in what she says.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we have cottoned on to how people sell. Mm. And none of us want to feel like we are prodded into buying something from anybody, whether it's on a social media, which is even worse, because that we can just switch off or slide past so quickly.
Delete or block.
Or if it's me in real life face to face with someone, I'll just say go away.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do that kind of stuff or that kind of buying from someone.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me. So yeah, for me, it definitely agree with her on the point of selling. It has become quite an art, really, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to think about it more.
You have to think about your target audience, about who you want to target.
Yeah.
None of us have the resources anymore to play the numbers game.
Absolutely, yeah. And it doesn't work anyway. You know, just throwing numbers at something just doesn't work. It's anti-selling. Absolutely. But it's harder work because you've got a target. But, you know, I agree 100% with you, Bruce. It makes you think about what you're doing. And that's a good thing to actually think through what it is you're doing and who you're selling to, why you're selling, and why they might want to buy your product. You know, that's the key thing that so many people don't ever think about when they try and sell you something. They go, why would you want to buy my product? Do you need it? Really? Do you need it? I know I want to sell it, but do you need it? You know, and does it suit what you're doing? So, cool. So I got, that's what I got from that. And it was a really good event, actually, Grow Kent. At the Brands Hatch Mercure Hotel last week. So, cool. And then fast forward a couple of days later, I chaired the Canterbury Business Awards.
Yeah, how was that?
That was brilliant. I think it was, you were there as well, weren't you, Bruce?
Yeah.
I think that was the best, I've done a lot of awards dinners in my time, I'm afraid. And I thought that was the best one I've done for, certainly for an awful long time.
Why? What was the energy?
There was a big turnout. Yeah. I would say there was probably about 120, 130 people there. Yeah. Lovely venue, Broom Park, just outside Canterbury. The thing that really inspired me though was the range of companies, in the finals and the winners, the massively innovative things that they were doing, all from one region of Kent, bearing in mind, you know, just from East Kent, and it's a huge diversity of very innovative, different new businesses. Like one of the businesses we're going to hear from in a minute, one of the winners, has only been going a year, and they've developed a magazine and all kinds of things. And they've got Claire started a business a year ago. She's got 10 staff already, and you know she's just grown phenomenally with energy. And they produced a magazine for children called Munch Cats, which goes out. That's not all they do. Mm. They do other things, but they produce this magazine and they've actually got it positioned in every major supermarket chain already. You know, so, and just a range of businesses like that. So many interesting businesses. And we were talking off air about John Nicholson and his community driving school, which is a charity, which, again, you're going to hear from in a minute that, gives driving lessons to people that can't afford it, basically, so that they can get a job. Absolutely phenomenal idea. Brilliant that he's got it off the ground even, you know, and he's already trying to expand into second cars and stuff like that. So I tell you what, why don't we hear from some of those people, some of the winners. We're going to play some this week and then I've got some more to play next week. Yeah. So let's hear from the first set of winners from the Canterbury Business Awards.
This is Paul Andrews reporting for the Business Bunker Show. I'm at Broom Park. Last week we celebrated the 2019 Canterbury Business Awards and I've got some of the winners with me today and we're going to find out a little bit more about them. So who have we got here?
I'm Luke Underdown and I'm the owner and founder of Garage Coffee.
Hello Luke, welcome. It's a lovely day out there, isn't it? It
certainly is, beautiful.
Cool. So tell us which award you won.
I won the Best Food and Drink Producer.
Okay, cool. So tell us a bit about Garage Coffee.
So we are specialty coffee roasters, roasting our coffee just outside of Canterbury. We've got a shop in Canterbury and one in Whitstable as well.
Fantastic. So where's your shops?
So the shop in Canterbury is the Fabulous Fruit Works, just off the high street, working in conjunction with a brilliant co-working space there. And the one in Whitstable was just off on Oxford Street, opposite the Wetherspoons there. We've opened there in January.
Fantastic, fantastic spaces you're in, Luke.
Yeah, really good, really happy with them.
Cool, good. So what made you enter the awards in the first place?
I think we've been going for about 3 years now and kind of built up a reputation in the local area. Love, obviously, building up with lots of wonderful customers and wholesale partners across the county, and felt it was the time to kind of recognise all the efforts that we and all our staff put in.
Absolutely. And it's not an easy category to win, is it? Because one, it's quite a large category. It's not just food and drink producers. It's hospitality and restaurants and all kinds of stuff. And there's loads of them about. So to win that award is pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a real credit to all of the fantastic staff we have working at Garage Coffee. You know, we've got so many passionate people who work within the business and also so many great wholesale customers across the county who love to serve really good coffee and are really passionate about the product.
Fantastic. So, Luke, if people want to find out more about Garage Coffee, what's the best way to do that?
So you visit the website, garageroasted.co.uk, or follow us on all the usual social media channels at Garage Roasted, or, of course, come and see us in one of our shops.
Fantastic. Luke, many congratulations on a well-deserved award, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much.
I have two more winners here from the Canterbury Business Awards. Who have I got here?
I'm Claire Fultini, and I'm from Day One Design Studio.
Hello, Claire, and...
And Anthony Thornley from Day One Design Studio.
So you're from the same company. Now, the reason that there's two of you is you actually won two awards.
We will win two awards. I am delighted to say that I won Businesswoman of the Year, and Anthony picked up the Creative Digital Award.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk about the Businesswoman of the Year first, and then we'll talk about the other secondary award later. So... what made you enter the award first?
Day One Design Studio have shown incredible growth over the last couple of years, and we've gone from working as freelancers at home to having a company with 10 people, and we are incredibly ambitious. We're doing really great things, and we thought that entering the awards would give us a really great platform to grow, to make ourselves seen and heard, and really make our mark in Kent.
Absolutely. Now, I remember meeting you when you were first thinking about starting this business a couple of years ago. You've got 10 staff now?
That's right. We've got 10 staff. We've got a number of really young people, which I'm really, really proud of. We've recruited people straight out of uni. We really passionately believe in recruiting people and really giving young people a good opportunity, you know, a really great start. And they have been such an asset to our growth that I'm so proud of them.
See that, and I can see the passion coming through that you have for your business, so it's no wonder that you won Businesswoman of the Year. So many congratulations, Claire, on that. Let's talk to your colleague here about the other award you won. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, cool, thanks. So tell us about the other award that the Design Studios won.
Yeah, so we won the Creative Digital Agency of the Year, which we're incredibly proud and surprised to have won. You know, we've worked hard over the last last couple of years to do hard work. We've built a really great team around us, and so we're delighted. It's lovely to have some recognition for the company as well. We spend a lot of time building brands for other companies, so it's nice to be recognised for the brand that we're building ourselves. Creative community in Canterbury and for Kent really is a good hub for creativity and art.
Absolutely is. Yeah, absolutely is. So, what do you think it was that tipped it in your favour? What do you think it was that you bring to the creative digital sphere that got you this recognition?
Well, we've got our finger on the pulse, and like, as Claire said, we've built quite a young team, so we feel like we're very forward thinking, we're modern in our approach, and we're building brands along with our own publications as well. We've got a self-published magazine which is very ethical, plastic free, called Munchcats, and that helps with
Munchcats. Munchcats. I thought that's what he said, Munchcats. So tell me about the magazine quickly then.
So the magazine is now currently in all good supermarkets, I would say, up and down the country, and it's supposed to bring back typical and traditional play values. It's all paper craft. There's no plastic on the front. It's all sourced from recyclable or recycled material, and it's really good fun. It's a bit strange. It's a bit weird, but it's great. It's a great magazine. It's been really well received by the kids that are reading it, and parents actually.
Fantastic. Hey, listen, guys, thank you so much for that. If people want to find out more about you guys, how can they do that?
Visit dayonedesign.co.uk.
Yeah, and on there you'll find all the normal Twitter and LinkedIn handles, everything like that. It's all on there, and you can find out a little bit more about us and the work we're doing.
Fantastic. Many congratulations to both of you and to the business on two well-deserved awards. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, look who I've found. I've only found the famous John Nicholson.
How are you?
I'm in a very fine mood, thank you, despite the traffic in Sturry doing its best to make it awkward to get here.
I know. Driving's a nightmare, isn't it?
It can be. It really can be, but I love what I do.
Do you know anyone that runs a driving school?
I know several, but I know mine is different.
John, sorry, you're the community driving school, and what you're doing is unbelievable. Why don't you tell us about the community driving school?
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, it's a brand new concept. There's nothing like it in the UK. what we do is we operate like a Formula One team. We rely on sponsorship from local businesses. We can also apply for funding from various places. And we teach people in poverty, people who are ex-addicts, ex-convicts, people who are coming out of prison because they're just given a check and told, there you go, there's a job centre. You made a point on the night of saying Kent is open for business. People in poverty are discriminated against being part of that business because they can't afford lessons to get a licence to get a job. On your own website, Jobs in Kent, how many jobs are available for people that need a driving licence that are not necessarily driving jobs? Mm. I would hazard there are about 1,200, 1,300. And by not having a licence, those people are prevented from being part of Kent open for business.
Yeah, absolutely right. Kent is a rural county for the most part. I do a lot of work on Romney Marsh. Unemployment across all bands is huge on the marsh. It's actually one of the worst unemployment areas in Europe. 12 miles away in Ashford, they can't get staff, but there's no public transport between the two and people don't have cars.
And what public transport there is expensive. Sorry, I nearly used an expletive there.
Yeah.
I mean,
you would have been right.
And these people can't even afford that.
Yeah.
I could make driving lessons a pound a lesson and these people couldn't afford it. Yeah. I'm teaching a young man from Ramsgate who was hoping to be here today. Mm. But he's had terrible mental health issues as a result. He was abused by a family relative when he was 8 years old. Right. All he wants is an opportunity in life. Mm. He's had the offer of several jobs, but he needs his licence.
Yeah.
Now, this young man was homeless. He's staying at a room from a friend, and he just wants a chance in life. Yep. He's got his driving test tomorrow. He's good enough to pass. So get out there and do it, boy, because you can do it.
Absolutely.
No, I specialise in people with mental health conditions because I myself am diagnosed with depression with suicidal tendencies because I tried to kill myself in 2014. I used to work in the City of London in sales and marketing and I retrained to be an driving instructor and I found some wonderful people and I'm teaching several people with autism actually, different, because it's a spectrum, it's not, and I've got the patience to deal with them because when you walk away from death, as I did, everything else is not a problem.
Absolutely. So you've launched a community driving school. What award did you win?
We're really proud to have won the Best Startup Business Award. It was totally, we wanted to enter because something like this gives you a badge of respectability. Mm. It really does. And I know from my marketing and sales background, reputation is everything. Mm. And getting an award like this, we've used it already on my LinkedIn page. I've had over 3,000 views of the post that I put on there, and the comments I've got back from former colleagues, from former clients, it could well open the avenues to more sponsorship.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, one of the things we ought to tell people out there is that you're reliant on sponsorship from companies to pay for these lessons for people that need it. So any company out there that wants to get involved, please do so. Please get involved. It's a fantastic thing. And we all suffer skill shortages at the moment, yet there's loads of talent out there. We need to be able to get them into the world of work. So absolutely, please sponsor the Community Driving School. Please support them. And in order for people to find out more about you, how can they do that?
We've got a section on the website. It's www.thecds.org.uk. We're a not-for-profit organisation. We're officially a community interest company. They're still fairly new, so some funders are very, hang on, we can't fund them. You're not a charity. No, we're a pseudo-charity. We're regulated, but we do get involved. We've got 42 business partners, including Ford, Tesco, and lots of local businesses. Kent is open for business, and those local businesses are the lifeblood of what we do.
Absolutely. Fantastic achievement. Just launching, not just the award, John, but launching the business, launching the company, and doing the work that you do. Much respect to you. Do keep on keeping on. And please, anyone out there, please get in touch with John and the Community Driving School and help support them.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thanks to everyone.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Do you use social media for your business? Do you understand all things digital? No? Then come to ZC Live. Business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns will host a day full of great content for local businesses, free workshops, inspiring speakers, networking opportunities, top marketing tips, the latest trends. And it's all free. Make your digital marketing more effective with ZC Live. Friday, May the 31st at Strood Academy. Book your free place now at zclive.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. That was some interviews that we did very recently with some of the winners from the Canterbury Business Awards, and we're going to be playing the rest of the winners next week on the show, so do stay tuned for that. Some fantastic businesses there doing a range of different things, and really all power to them. We were talking while we were listening here in the studio about the range of innovative and different businesses in East Kent that we saw at the East Kent and Canterbury Business Awards. So congratulations to all the finalists and all the winners from those awards. And just so that you know, the next awards up are Maidstone, I do believe. So the Maidstone Awards are next. We'll tell you a bit about that later in the show. We have got some tweets, and I'm going to read a couple of them, I think. We've got the lovely folks from Tenterson Toilets have tweeted in. Laura and the team, thank you. I think they're in a conversation with Jules about toilets, so I think we'll kind of gloss over that for a moment. We've also got FSB Southeast, who remind us that there's a Skills 30-30 taking place at the Haysbrook School on the 28th of March. That's this Thursday. So do come along to that, 9 o'clock at the Haysbrook School in Tunbridge. 30 businesses meeting 30 A-level students to talk about the world of work. We have a tweet from Telcare Limited, the lovely telecoms company over there on the Medway City Estate at Rochester. And they say, don't forget to join Vanilla Webb and the team on the Business Bunker Show on Channel Radio for all things small business in Kent. So thank you, guys. And our lovely friends at Athelbray, who's Bird on a Bike. You've got a mention here, Bird.
What are you trying to say?
Well, you got a mention.
Well, I always get a mention.
Do you?
What's that?
You normally get a mention from your little stalker. I know that. Anyway, Athelbray have been on Business Bunker, Bird on a Bike. Can we have a shout out, please, for two public courses running on the 24th of April, Customer Service Excellence, and the 30th of April, Time Management. Both just £199 per person, and they're running at Chilston Park, which is a fabulous hotel out at Lenham near Maidstone. One so important for client benefit and one so important for personal benefit, both crucial in business. So that's Athelbray with two courses. Best way to find out more about the details and to book your place is to follow them on the Twitter, Athelbray Limited, Athelbray Limited is their Twitter handle, Athelbray Limited.
I'm just pleased that they didn't mention my hairy legs.
So far. Ernie.
They haven't done that for a little while. What I like about them is this, they don't do it on the show. They'll do it on a Sunday afternoon.
When you're not listening.
And they'll just drop it in the conversation about my legs or something, how short and stumpy I am or something.
Short, fat, hairy legs.
Yeah. It always makes me laugh.
Because you actually have got short, fat, hairy legs, haven't you?
Apparently so, yeah. Yes. Mm. But not anymore, because I've had to get them done ready for race season.
Have you been exfoliated or whatever it's called?
Waxed. No.
To have them done.
Well, you do, you see. Stephen does. Stephen gets his legs waxed.
Does he?
He's racing. Yeah. He'll love me saying that live on air.
I was going to say,
the whole globe, won't he?
Yeah.
As he's flying. But yeah, so we do, because it's much better, obviously, when you're racing.
Well, I thought you wore a lycra suit anyway.
You do, but only to your knees, love. And then your legs are out, aren't they?
Your calves are out, aren't they?
Well, and my knees.
And your knees?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Have you got hairy knees normally then?
I try not to, but apparently Athelbray say I have.
All right, okay.
Anyway, we've got a huge thank you that we've both said, haven't we, to PDB Photos.
Yeah.
And they have sent the most fabulous photos to us, haven't they?
Mm.
I feel like I'm chewing a brick up one of them. Do you not think I am?
Well, I think it's...
It looks like I'm dribbling.
No, I think it's a fantastic photograph. It looks like you're going... My God, Paul, no.
But you're not in my direction. Because if you see the direction of the I'm looking to my left and not directly in front of you.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant. But I love them. Thank you.
Paul Burgess Photography. His website is paulburgess.photography. Do check it out. He was a guest, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
On the show. And when I got to the studio today, there was an envelope with these fantastic black and white photographs in there that he'd taken.
Gifts and flowers, don't
we? Yeah, absolutely. Send gifts.
Gifts and flowers. Yeah. Every time.
But they're fabulous photographs. So a huge thank you to Paul Burgess for those.
And I've been talking about this. I've just been doing something with Stephen with photos. And I've said about black and white. Black and white give you a depth that colour just, for me, doesn't get it. And I don't understand why that is. Especially that it looks so professional and amazing.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And I think one of the other funny things is, because you see so many photographs now on social media and, you know, we've all got cameras on our phone and all the rest of it. Having something like that in black and white that's different actually stands out.
Mm.
Yeah, because, it's just different to the normal stuff that you see.
Yeah. I know.
Cool. Do you know what? I think we'll talk to Bruce.
Let's do it.
You? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Bruce back onto the show, Mr. Bruce Kidd from Operational Accounting Systems.
Thank you.
Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you.
Cool.
Thank
you. Now, you've come on today to tell us about some of the other plans that you've got going on primarily.
Absolutely. We're as everybody knows, a software company. We specialize in integrating all areas of business and bringing it together in one system. This year, we're focusing our efforts on looking at productivity in the business, and not just in specific business, but in all business. So we're looking at the effect it has on business, on employees, and we're looking at the effect it has on the output we produce at the end of the day for our businesses. So yes, coming up, I've got called a productivity in the construction industry event at the London Golf Club on the 2nd of May. It's just a morning of talks where we're looking at productivity. We're doing interactive exercises, and we're going to look at three areas really. So we'll be looking at productivity as a whole and the effect it has on business. We'll also be looking at change in a business and how that affects productivity, because we all know change firstly negatively affects productivity. And then if the change was the correct kind of change needed for the organization, that productivity will then excel beyond the point where it started from.
There's a really interesting, it's funny you should say that, there's a really interesting story from back in the day in the 1950s. Frederick Taylor, who was one of the management consultants that developed a scheme of increasing productivity. He was one of the architects of the production line view of producing things, which kind of worked back in the 50s, and one of the interesting things he did at a Ford factory in Dearborn, just outside Denver, just outside Detroit. He looked at the productivity of the production line, and it was a fairly grey old place. And he came along and he took one group on the production line, and he changed all the chairs they sat in and gave him cushions and comfy chairs. They decorated and painted everything, and gave it bright, vivid colours, and made it a very nice kind of working environment. And productivity kind of went up 30%, right? And then 6 months later, having written up all the findings, they came along and took it all out, and restored it to what it was, which was a grey, humdrum kind of thing. And productivity went up another 20%. And everybody went, what? And it turned out that it wasn't what you actually did. It was the fact that you paid attention to anybody in the first place.
Absolutely.
And because they were so not used to having anyone paying attention, whether it was negative or positive didn't really matter as long as you paid them attention.
Yeah.
And it improved productivity. It's a strange quirk of what happened. So the event that you've got running at the London Golf Club, which is a fabulous location, is it not?
Superbly.
Absolutely
us,
gorgeous,
yes.
Is this geared specifically at construction companies?
It is geared at construction companies, but it's also geared at any company that needs to produce any form of job costing.
Right, okay.
Because although the product we're showcasing on the day is Pegasus, a CIS product, it really is a job costing and management tool, effectively, but it fits really nice within the construction industry. So for those guys who have to produce some form of accounts for the jobs that they produce and work in the construction industry. This would allow them to do so and to cost things like their subcontractors' time, that kind of thing, directly back to the job, or even employees. Okay. So it's aimed at any business, really, that needs to do job costing within their business.
Right.
So that could be most businesses, really.
Yeah.
But we have gone with the sector of construction because that is where it affects most people. And we find that within construction, especially, they tend to work a lot on disparate spreadsheets.
Yeah.
And we're trying to bring that together. I mean, it's what we do. Oasis does is to bring businesses together to integrate what they do. And this is just kind of a step, but within that area of construction, I suppose. Yeah.
Because we ought to tell listeners, you supply software that integrates every aspect of a business.
Absolutely. So that's our speciality. We supply several bits of software, but the uniqueness in what we do is the software talks to each other so that we can fully integrate all the areas within the business and all the departments within the business. So we end up with a central system, with a central bit of data where you can then produce reports for your management from without having to ask several people to give you a spreadsheet or bits of information and then still have an error at the end. So the idea is we bring it together in a system so that that process becomes just another small process to do rather than becomes a two-day task to put figures together.
Okay. So let's step us through the event that you're going to run now. It's at the London Golf Club, which is over near Brands Hatch.
That's correct, yes.
West Kent. It's an absolutely glorious place. It really is a lovely venue. And I know that you guys use it quite a lot.
We use it often. We've used it several times now. Interesting, one of the interesting bits of information for us with the London Golf Club is every single event we've ever had there, it snowed at.
Really?
Even the last event we had was April. Well, we had one this year and it snowed, but April last year we had an event which was well into April and it was the day in April it snowed.
And when's the event this year?
This is on the 2nd of May.
Right. Mm. So down the bookies.
Yeah. Yeah.
put a ton on it to snow on the 2nd of May. Yeah, it's odds on. It's a no-brainer. You're going to make money.
I said I did want to put one up in the middle of the summer and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Freak snowstorm hits Kent.
Because Oasis has an event. So, yeah, coming back to the event, so that's what we're trying to do. The London Golf Club is a perfect venue for us. Mm. Our events are not huge, so we only have around 20 people in the room because it becomes a real networking experience towards the end. Everybody talks, everybody shares information with each other, and we really network. People walk away with contacts at the end of that, not necessarily with me, but with other people in the room, and that's kind of what we aim at to do. So from the last event we had in January, I know that several of the people came into the room ended up connecting with each other and doing business with each other. That is fantastic, because that the aim was to bring people together to start building those kind of business relationships that we like doing.
Fantastic. Now, this is a free to attend event?
Oh, absolutely. Always free to attend.
Any food?
Events. Always food. We always end with a lunch where we can just talk and network with people because we've got got several speakers on the day doing their bit. They all stay and we all chat towards the end. So I've got people like Linda Garcia doing a training exercise regarding productivity. So very interactive stuff and really shows the point of how training affects productivity in the workplace, really with a visual exercise.
So anybody that doesn't know Linda, she runs a company called Eluxite Consulting. She's a productivity maven. And most of us smile because she's very passionate about productivity.
It's because you wind her up. It's not even never. Poking the bear.
Yeah.
It's like hitting the bear on the head with a slab.
No, I don't. I love Linda. I think she's brilliant, and she really does know her stuff as well. Yeah. She's really good. So do go along and hear from Linda. Who else you've got?
I also have Joe Humphrey from Origin Computer Training.
Yep.
Doing a talk for us because training has got an adverse effect on productivity in the workplace.
Yeah.
Then I have product specialist from Pegasus coming to do the Pegasus side of our talk.
Yeah.
Again, he knows the product, he knows the construction industry, he knows the lingo and everything that they that we don't understand, that I don't understand within that industry. He comes along, he showcases the software, he talks about how that makes and helps productivity. Yeah. And then I also have a customer at the end. Now, the customer is W.W. Martin, right. Who is one of our customers we picked up along the way. Now, they were one of the classic cases of a company who had disparate systems not working for them at all. They introduced a series of systems from us, and it really has transformed how their business work. So Neil Peck is coming to do a talk for me to talk about the productivity that the increases has had in their business and the impact it's had since introducing the software systems from Oasis.
Okay, because it's interesting, isn't it, that you're talking about productivity, that we don't always think that we can actually scrub off productivity. We lose productivity in the gaps between things that don't kind of fit together, that don't flow, that don't work. You know, you don't actually think about it a lot because you're just used to, you know, translating one thing to another, printing it as a PDF, faxing it to someone, getting them to type it in and upload
I've
it.
I've always done it like that. It's the most common reply we get. Well, I've always done it like that.
But you don't realize that's where all your productivity is going.
Absolutely. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just, I've always done it like that. Yeah, that's what the job involves. And that's where it all goes. And that's one of Linda's big things, isn't it? Yeah. That says, you know, just because you've always done it like that didn't mean to say it worked in the first place. Yeah.
Exactly. This is what Linda's talk is so effective through, because we do a bit of an exercise in three groups. So it really effectively shows the effect of training on the outcome of those exercises. I know it's an exercise designed to show you, but it shows you, you know, in real terms, what happens in the workplace when you've had a bit of training on your systems or whatever you look at or however you look at it. It just shows you what the outcome could be from a productivity point of view, how much more you can get out of your business, I suppose, by implementing all these areas to increase your productivity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Bruce, if people, there's two things we want to do here. If people want to find out about the event in the snow on May the 2nd. How can they do that?
We can always head over to our website, which is all the W's O-A-S-Y-S.co.uk. On our events page, you'll find all the events we're hosting, and this one is the first one coming up. So the places can be booked on there, and that'll come through to me, and I'll deal with that. But further to that, we also have the Kent Vision Live coming up.
Right.
A couple of weeks after that. I know I'm here with you guys again the day before that. But on that day, I'm hosting a roundtable session with Linda. So we kind of prolonging our productivity.
That's a Vision Live,
That's Kent Vision Live. So together, me and her are doing a double act on the productivity roundtable session.
Fantastic.
On the day 11:30 till 12. But again, I'll talk about that more next time.
Next time you're on. Fantastic. That's really good stuff. Thank you for that, Bruce. I was going to say something else to you, and I can't think what it is now. It'll come to me. But thank you for that. Do check out the website. If you didn't get that listed down, it's on the Kent Business Radio website. There's a link to Oasis on there. That will stay there forever, so you can click through to that. If you're in the construction business or you do anything that to do with job costing and you want to find out about improving your productivity, get along on the 2nd of May to the London Golf Club and join in with the event.
Yes. Thank you very much.
I know that you've got to dash off, Bruce. You're going to stay with us for a few more minutes until the half point of the show, and then you're going to dash off. So it's lovely to see you again. We wish you much success with your events, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Right.
Yes.
Right. I think I've got a few tweets, but we've got loads of emails, and I think we ought to start reading some of them, to be honest.
All right. Kenwood House. Join us at the stunning Georgian Manor House. Last chance to book a table for our Mothering Sunday. That's this Sunday, by the way.
It is, yeah.
What do we feel about Mothering Sunday?
I'm going to see my mum.
I know. I don't really like it at all. And I'm a mum. Right. I'm like, loves, I'd rather they buy me gifts and flowers on not that Sunday.
Okay.
I just think it's a bit of a commercial element.
Get that.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, get
that. That's why I get, you were like that. Oh, don't get me in trouble. Josephine was like, Bird, where are you taking us on this? Oh, no, I am like that, though.
No, only because I know my mum expects, so she's the opposite.
So does my mother.
So if I, irrespective of what I believe.
Surprise, I got you nothing.
Exactly. If I didn't send her a card, she would be really upset, actually. So
my mother's the same as well. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My children are like, jazz hands. They're like, yeah, my mum, we don't need to do anything. But they would do something for me for no reason. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
my youngest, Stu, when he was a student.
Did you see their faces? They were like that.
When Stu was a student, he was in Bristol on Father's Day, and I got an email. No, it was a social media post, and it went, this is a photograph of a Father's Day card in Smith's. As a student, I couldn't afford to buy it for
That's
you.
Genius.
But if I could, it's what I would have got. And this is a photograph of a stamp I couldn't afford either, which would have gone on the envelope, but I can't afford that. Happy Father's Day.
That's brilliant. Isn't that brilliant? Awesome. I love that. I'd rather you've done that than get the card and the stamp.
Yeah, absolutely.
See what I mean? There you go. Anyway, sorry, Kenwood. Let's get back to this amazing Mothering Sunday that you're doing. So let's start this again. Join us at this stunning Georgia Manor House. Last chance to book a table for our Mothering Sunday afternoon tea this weekend. It's only £12 per adult and £6 per child. And call today and it's 01622 814 187 or email reception at kenwoodtrust.org.uk. I didn't mean to crash your amazing Mothering Sunday.
It's a fabulous venue. Kenwood Trust. Yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous there. The grounds are gorgeous. I'm a trustee of Kenwood Trust, so.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So, we need your money.
He's everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bring it, come along, bring your money, spend your money. It all goes to a good cause as well. So, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous place. So do come along. Right. What else we got?
I've got loads of them.
Yeah, we'll go for another one.
You've given me everything here.
No, I've got loads here, but I just can't be bothered to go. Bend down
reach
and pick
down,
them
reach
up.
Down. Yeah, are you ready while I'm on? So help us bridge the gap between school and businesses as business owners and managers join us at FSB to inspire the next generation of talent next event. This is at Haysbrook School at Tunbridge and this is on the 28th of March. So that's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/3030.
Yep.
Now, before I forget, I was just watching some of Twitter stuff coming through, and Neville Gauntlet, he's in Istanbul at the minute.
No, Islamabad.
That's the one.
Yep.
And he's put, but don't you worry, I can watch it through the world of www, which just made me laugh. Yeah, so we have now got to send that either viral, haven't we?
Exactly.
We have. We're trying. Yeah, so help us go viral with World Wide Web.
Yeah, no, Neville's in Islamabad in Pakistan, with his Y2G, project that he's doing there, all about personal growth, and he's doing some good stuff there in Pakistan. There's a spectacular soloist announced for the Leeds Castle Summer Concert. The Leeds Castle Classical Summer Concert takes place on Saturday the 13th of July this year, and it will be a unique celebration of Leeds Castle's remarkable 900-year milestone. The organisers are delighted to announce that there's two sensational female performers, Alwyn Meller and Louise Dearman, and they'll be taken to the stage ensuring this spectacular event will be another one to remember. International conductor and host for the evening, John Rigby, has said, I'm thrilled that we have the sensational West End star Louise Dearman returning to Leeds Castle this summer after such a fabulous debut last year. And along with Alwyn Meller, is one of the most exciting and dramatic singers around today and has literally performed all over the world. Alwyn Meller is one of the UK's leading sopranos and currently in great demand, flying between appearances in Germany, the UK and Vienna. If you want to know more about this year's concert, go to leedscastleconcert.co.uk and Brashers, the law firm, are once again the headline sponsors of the concert.
Cool. I want to go back to what Bruce was saying about your productivity week, your event. And I was watching yesterday, Mark Gaisford's doing some great stuff on LinkedIn. And he's got a company, and it really took me back. And it's very rare, one that you invest your time in watching a whole video, isn't it? And he's doing some fabulous stuff. So, Mark, I'm sending you a big shout-out. But this was an amazing company called Redico. Heard of them? They're in Kent and Brighton. Now, here's what they're saying, and it's just going back to you saying, well, that's what we've always done. And this really shocked me, and I thought, I wonder if you do what you say you do. And actually, when you see the video, you'll go, oh, my days. And this isn't for everybody, but it clearly is working for them as a company to boost productivity. So they work. This is just a quote from the LinkedIn thing. They've worked from home as and when you want to. Choose your own working hours. There is no set rules around when and where you work. And you can have as much holiday as you want. Here's the key. And it's paid. Now, that goes against everything. An employer, I know, isn't it? It's really quite shocking, I thought, when you go, don't be so silly. But actually, I'd like to know his productivity. So, Redico, come on and speak to us, because... Go on, look at you smiling. But it's really interesting, because they're poking us, aren't they, a little bit?
Absolutely. We had a discussion about this somewhere the other day. I can't remember where we were. Mm. Oh, it was at the West Kent, Grow West Kent show. We were discussing this. 8 years ago, I introduced flexible working at Joss & Kent, and I said to people, there are no times of work, and I removed them from our contract of employment. There's no start time, there's no end time. I don't care when you work, I just want you to do the job properly. And once you've done it, whether you did that at midnight or 3 a.m. or 2 p.m, I really couldn't care less, as long as you did it. But do you know what the net effect is?
Zero. Everybody, they don't want to do it.
Everybody comes in at 8 o'clock. Yeah. Everybody stays until 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
What aren't they hearing?
Sorry?
What aren't they hearing from you?
No, it's
habit.
Because
they're not getting permission, are they?
Well, it's two things. It's habit. And it's also that our society's geared to it, you know, because you can be flexible within certain constraints, but then you can't. If you've got kids at school, they go to school at a time, you pick them up at a time. You can't be flexible with that, you know, especially now. Schools go mad if you do anything like take your kids out of school or don't turn up for a lesson or something. You get the school inspector ringing you up and saying, do you know, your attendance is only 99.3.2% and that's not good enough. So there's a whole society thing around time and when we do it and how we fit in with other people.
Plus people like structure.
Yeah, they do. They
fundamentally... I offer people to work from home all the time. Yeah. I worked from home for years and years and years when I worked for the Royal National Institute for the Blind, and that suited me. I liked working from home. I was highly productive. It worked great. But very few of my team chose to work from home even though they could, because they actually liked, well, the camaraderie of being in the office, the people they worked with, the structure around it. They knew they had set times and they could plan the life around that, actually. So it doesn't always work the way you think.
The reason I'm smiling, you might know I own Fruitworks, which is a community hot desk space in Canterbury. A large number of our members are actually corporate home workers. Okay. And they pay to come into Fruitworks because they don't actually want to work at home. But what they don't want to do is commute every day, but they want the camaraderie, as you say, Josephine, you're absolutely right. So they pay their own money to come and work in Fruitworks, so they don't have to work at home, but they don't have to go to work either. Yeah. So they kind of got the best of both worlds.
So what do you think is it that then we're not disciplined? Is it
I think Josephine's right now. I think people like a structure. They like to know where they stand, and they like to know, you know, if I go in at 9, I go in. I've got another one. One of our member companies, Recruitment Events in Fruitworks, they've got about 12 employees. And Jamie, who runs the company, he did a LinkedIn video about this. He was amazed. They moved to a 4-day week. Yeah. And he just said, we're only going to work 4 days a week. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, we're going to get paid for 5, but we're only going to work for 4. And half the staff moaned like mad. Oh, really? He went, yeah, they didn't want to do it. It was just too disruptive. They prefer working 5 days a week. So it's you're right, it's really hard to change things when it's ingrained in people that you go to work Monday to Friday from, you know,
but we've
9 to 5.
We've got such a system now that we don't have to. I'll give you a great example. I'm trying to teach people to have meetings with me virtually. I don't want to travel.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
So for example, I'm doing this with my financial advisor. I don't want to meet you. Can we do it virtually? Oh no, I like to see you. I know
he
you
likes
do.
To see the fear in your eyes.
I know
bird.
You
That's
do, but I don't want to. I don't need to have that tangible. There are some times that you do.
Yeah.
But I think in certain places, it will save me 2 hours of my day to try. So I'm not understanding this, not using the technology that we have at our fingertips. Because that's going against productivity.
Yeah. I think it's a generational thing, personally.
I am young, Bruce, you're right.
I like the idea of working flexible hours or working at home or working at 6 a.m. But it doesn't suit everybody. And also the role I'm sitting in sometimes or very often, I need to banter ideas as a sales and marketing person. I have to banter off other people. And that you don't get if you're sitting at home working by yourself, or you just don't get that. Although you can connect via Skype or whatever to talk to someone, you don't have that personal banter going across that. So I can understand that. Mm. I think the millennials especially, they really terrible in the mornings. They really don't wake up until a certain time.
About 11.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's just how it is. It's not funny. Yeah. And I think workplaces, we have to adapt to get the best out of the time they have. Yeah. They also have a 24-hour day just like us. Just doesn't mean that they're most productive from
It's not the same 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think we have to kind of adapt to how they work.
It's very true, and technology is a big driver of this, you know, because we have mobile phones and tablets and all the rest of it, and email and social media. It doesn't stop at 5 o'clock.
No.
Social media does not switch on at 9 and stop at 5. You know, I answer work emails at 2 in the morning, and, you know.
Exactly.
And it's that level of thing, and it's just change, and change is always slow to be taken on board, isn't it, because we don't like change, and everybody resists change, and everybody fears change. I mean, look at what's going on in the world at the moment. Everybody's running away from change, and that's the problem. Is it'll get there eventually, but at the moment there's a lot of resistance to it because it's not what people are used to. But you do hear some funny things about people trying to, but interestingly, a friend of mine, James Gardner, who's a director of Sinclair and Rush, who are a manufacturing company, they're trying to introduce flexible working into a production line. And that really isn't easy at all. Yeah. And they're really struggling with it to try and do it, but they are trying to do it. And you know, it's all power to them because they want people to feel respected and flexible. You know, we do need flexible working. You know, there's so many single parent families nowadays that, you know, collecting kids from school and school holidays and all that kind of thing has a huge impact. Cool. Anyway, do you know what? I think it's about time we join the Channel Radio newsroom, don't you? And then we're going to talk to our second guest later.
On the hour, Channel Radio news update.
Jeremy Corbyn said there's no basis for holding a third vote on Theresa May's Brexit deal.